A point of attention for our audience. This episode contains information that is not appropriate for all ages, and thus discretion is advised when you listen. My name is Dr. Mahjubeen Islam.
And I am Dr. Ketley Daniels.
And we want to thank you for listening to our Treat Addiction podcast. The information in this podcast cannot replace your seeking professional help. If you or someone you can help are struggling with porn addiction, contact the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, also known as SAMHSA, National Helpline at 1-800-662-HELP. Or 1-800-662-4357 for information on support and treatment facilities in your area.
This is a very interesting subject, but as I was thinking and we were discussing earlier, that our audience who have been following along with us will note the similarities from the other addictions.
Yes, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah. So they'll be hearing things that they're now familiar with.
They're familiar with, mm-hmm. Yes.
Porn addiction is a behavioral addiction characterized by an excessive, compulsive, and problematic consumption of pornography that interferes with daily life. And that's one of the definitions of an addiction is when it interferes with daily life, whether it's relationships or work or emotional well-being. Individuals with porn addiction may find it difficult to control their viewing habits despite negative consequences, whether it's work issues or relationship issues or parenting issues. And they may spend an increasing amount of time seeking and consuming pornography to achieve the same level of satisfaction. So we'll talk a little bit more when you talk about tolerance, they'll see that.
Mm-hmm, yes. Mm-hmm. And to also notice, again, this piece about negative consequences for people, the larger audience, to understand that people who have an addictive disorder, they are aware mm-hmm. that there are negative consequences. Mm-hmm. The only sad part is that they have difficulty stopping.
Right.
And in the common signs that we see of porn addiction is, like you said, compulsive use, inability to reduce or stop pornography consumption despite their many attempts to do so. And they spend a significant amount of time viewing pornography mm-hmm. At the expense of other responsibilities or activities. And then, like you said, the premise of tolerance, needing to consume more or increasingly extreme content to achieve the same level of satisfaction. Then a negative impact that it has on relationships, work, personal life due to the pornography use. And then, like any other addiction, withdrawal symptoms, feeling anxious, irritable, or restless when unable to access pornography.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how consuming it is. You know, it's amazing how consuming it is. We have a case of a young college student, and we'll call him Jake, a 22-year-old who started watching pornography in his early teens, which is not uncommon. And sometimes he's even younger. Initially, it was a casual habit, but by the time he entered college, he found himself watching for hours daily. He was watching these pornographic sites. His academic performance declined, and he struggled with social anxiety. He even preferred staying in his dorm to binge watch porn rather than hanging out with his friends.
So sad.
Yeah. Mm. At one point, he decided, okay, something has to change. And it reminds me of our favorite saying, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb?
Our audience is going to remember that at least, for sure.
Well, it takes only one, but what's the answer? Okay, you're not going to share the answer with me? The light bulb has to want to change. So after failing a semester and breaking up with his girlfriend, who cited his lack of emotional intimacy as a reason for separating, he realized he had a problem. And he decided to join. There's a community online called NoFap Community. It's you install it into your computer. It's a community-based peer recovery support group platform for those who are addicted to pornography and sexual compulsive behaviors, where you can get online and you have an AI who monitors your activity. And then you have another side to the app where you have an accountability partner that oversees what you're watching and then can give you feedback. But again, you have to choose to download this software, and you have to choose to find someone to be accountable to. So he decided to do that, and then he began to reduce his screen time and had to start changing his lifestyle by doing other things besides watching pornography. He began to meet friends and get out and do more, and gradually he overcame his dependence and rebuilt his anxiety. As with any addiction, you have to make that first decision to stop.
Right. And the web address is nofap.com.
Yes.
So when you think about it, and to look at how widespread or the prevalence of porn addiction is, porn sites receive over 115 million visits per day, making them some of the most visited websites worldwide. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you do these statistics, they're always kind of like very shaking. Mm-hmm. A study suggests that 70% of men and 30% of women watch porn at least once a month, with daily use reported by around 20% of men and 5% of women. And then we go to our adolescents. 93% of boys and 62% of girls have been exposed to pornography before the age of 18, with the average first exposure occurring at the age of 11. And this case that we have of Liam, a 16-year-old, shows the exposure at an early age. He was introduced to porn at 11 by older friends. What started as a curiosity turned into a daily habit, experienced a lack of motivation, irritability, and difficulty forming real-life relationships. And then, very lucky for him, he watched a documentary about addiction and realized how much time and energy he was wasting. He got a mentor, cut back on the usage, replaced his habit with sports, and built better relationships with friends. And then realized that by focusing on real-world connections, he reduced his reliance on porn as an emotional crutch. But like you said, it's a very magnetic, consuming kind of situation.
Mm-hmm. And I think how broken the whole sexual experience for these young people are when exposed so early, you know, as far as what's normal anymore.
Exactly.
It's totally broken.
They take that as normal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when we talk about the biology of these disorders, we call them, even though it's not listed in our diagnostic statistical manual, which is our holy
DSM-4
psychiatry, it is still an issue. And many researchers and clinicians acknowledge problematic pornography use as a potential mental health concern. I don't know if I would even say potential. It is.
It is. It is.
It is a mental.
Because it's an addictive disorder, falls right in.
Yeah, it falls right in, and it does alter and change many people's lives for the worse. So we talk about the dopamine and the reward system. And again, for those who've been following along closely, you know this system. Watching pornography stimulates the brain's reward system, particularly that same release of dopamine. It's a neurotransmitter associated with pleasure and reward. Once it gets broken, it's hard to capture it back. So repeated exposure to highly stimulating sexual content can lead to desensitization, meaning that you will require more and more to get the same pleasure, the same level of pleasure.
Just like in opioid addiction, remember
yes.
we talked about how the mu receptors,
yes.
they lose their function
yes.
and structure.
Yeah.
There's an alteration in yeah. the structure and function of the receptors
yeah.
during the process of
yeah.
opioid addiction.
Yeah.
So the same thing is happening
same
here.
Same thing.
Yeah.
The best would be to never be exposed, but that's not a thing because I know, yeah, that's not a thing. They will somehow be exposed to it. And the brain also exhibits what is called neuroplasticity. And that means that it adapts with repeated behaviors. With excessive porn use, the pathways associated with the pleasure and reward becomes reinforced with that particular behavior, making it difficult to
right.
find pleasure in other activities.
Right.
Not just normal sexual relationships, but other activities diminish in the pleasure it would render. One of the thoughts I had is that I compare it to if a person enjoys spicy foods and that's what they've eaten all the time, and or they like salty foods and that's what they enjoy, and then now you say, no more spicy food for you. And imagine having to now eat bland food.
Bland food, yeah.
It's going to be a...
It's a very good analogy. Mm-hmm. I do like it.
Yeah, it's an adjustment. And it also, we have to know that the prefrontal cortex, the part of your brain that is involved in decision-making, impulse control, and self-regulation, can become impaired as a result. It makes me sad when I think about, I have a couple of young men that I see in my office who, they struggle. They have been struggling for a long time with this addiction. It's hard. It's hard for them. So another thing that happens too biologically is withdrawal and tolerance. And I think you'll mention a little bit more about tolerance, or you've mentioned it already, but similar to substance use disorders, individual may experience withdrawal symptoms when not consuming pornography. And you think, well, what does that mean? What kind of withdrawal symptoms? Well, yeah, irritability, anxiety, cravings are all withdrawal type symptoms. And tolerance can develop, leading individuals to seek out more extreme or novel content to achieve the same pleasure. Yeah.
And if you look at what you just talked about, this is the perfect storm. Mm-hmm. And it is so much. The dopamine, mm-hmm. the adaptation of the brain, mm-hmm. the changes in the decision-making center of the brain, mm-hmm. as well as the concept of withdrawal and tolerance. The person is once a victim to get out of those clutches, it's very, very difficult because there's so much at play here.
So much.
And there's a big impact on mental health and relationships with porn addiction like there is with other addictive disorders. There's compulsive use. Around 5 to 8% of users meet the criteria for problematic or compulsive pornography use. There are changes in the brain because excessive porn consumption has been linked to, like you mentioned, desensitization, reducing the sensitivity of the natural dopamine rewards, which is very similar, like we said, to other addictions. And this is very unique to porn addiction. There's the development of erectile dysfunction, and a growing number of young men under 40 report porn-induced erectile dysfunction, acronymed as PIED, P-I-E-D, with some estimating rates as high as 30%.
Yeah, can you imagine?
That's quite incredible.
I just thought about this gentleman that I've been seeing for a while who has... Thank you.
You did that in a previous episode and I razzed you about it.
Yes, you did.
You know?
In my office.
This gentleman. It's like, this is not a date. This is in the office. This is a patient.
This is a patient.
What stops you from saying patient?
I don't know. I always refer to them as a male or a female person. But this man, very nice man. But I think he's probably in his... I would imagine late 30s, early 40s. And I think his erectile dysfunction stems from his masturbation. And he's always asking for Viagra or some other assistant.
To a psychiatrist?
Yeah, because psychiatric meds can cause sexual dysfunction. So we use Viagra and Cialis for people, yeah. And so as I'm thinking of him, I'm thinking that probably this is his main issue. Yeah, because he's a single male and he needs, it's real.
The relationship issues go on to divorces, and 56% of divorces cite obsessive porn use as a contributing factor. So there's another illustrative case of the married man's secret battle. So Mark, we'll call him, a 38-year-old married man, had been watching porn since high school. His consumption escalated over the years to more extreme content affecting his intimacy with his wife. He began hiding his habit, lying about work, spending money on premium sites. When his wife discovered his browser history and confronted him, she felt betrayed and emotionally disconnected. He sought counseling, and this is a good result or good ending, and attended 12-step program, worked on rebuilding trust with his wife through open communication and transparency. Though the process was slow, he eventually regained control over his urges and restored intimacy in his marriage. In my practice, though, it has happened that the ending was not such a good one because it so deeply affects the marital relationship
or the trust.
The trust mm-hmm. that the case resulted in divorce in that particular situation.
Yeah, it's very challenging to get beyond this issue. in a marriage especially is very, very difficult. And so what are some of the steps that one can take to overcome porn addiction? And I'm not going to ask my same question because we know how many psychiatrists it takes. But the first step is to acknowledge there is an issue. This is a problem. Some people may tend to make excuses, or they minimize it, or they blame it on their spouse, lack of intimacy in their relationship, or it's not that bad. It's only once a week. It's only once a month. But you first have to acknowledge that this is a problem and then begin to identify the triggers. Understand what situations, what emotions or stresses lead you to find relief in that behavior, and then set some goals. Define what cutting back or quitting means to you. For many people, it's like the drug addiction. A little bit is not enough. So it's either going to be all or none.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to decide, can you set a realistic goal for yourself? And then using technology to your advantage, we mentioned the NoFap, which is a great resource. But then there is also the Covenant Eyes. You can talk a little bit more about the Covenant Eyes. And
Sure. The Covenant Eyes, I was very intrigued when I learned about these. So Covenant Eyes captures screenshots of your device
mm-hmm.
to monitor your activity.
Mm-hmm.
It scans screenshots for explicit content.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sends accountability reports to people that you choose.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was... It's really fascinating how technology creates such brilliance among people.
Yeah.
And they create something that is so effective and fascinating.
I love the whole idea, because you first have to select an accountability partner, and then the AI just passively just monitors what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then anything that you should not be doing, it reports it to your accountability partner.
Right.
And then they can, you know, work with you and try to assist you and navigating away from it.
Right. And I was also kind of amused that they used cold turkey for porn addiction, because the word cold turkey, as our audience knows, comes from opioid withdrawal in which the person has goosebumps. And is sweats and is very cold.
Yeah.
But they called it, this website is cold turkey, and it just goes straight to the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And a child would not be allowed to go on certain websites. It blocks websites of porn to help the person stay focused.
And it blocks everything you ask it to block. It blocks it completely. You cannot access them. Whether it's a YouTube video, anything with a particular word, a particular theme, it will block it for you.
Right.
And then you have to open the door again if you choose to go back and open it again. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Cold turkey. This is it. I made the decision. And then I can imagine some people who may be a little bit dirty on the other side may find another way, get another device and not put it on that device and still access it. So you have to want to do this in order to get beyond it. They recommend also replacing the habit. And that's so important, not only for pornography, but most of these addictions, replacing the habit with something healthy. Go for exercise, get out with friends, take a class, take belly dancing at Owens Community College. That's so much fun. I did that. It was fun. It was really fun. Practice mindfulness and self-control, deep breathing, meditating, journaling can all help. And then seek support. Talk to a therapist. Join a support group. All of these are available. And then once in a while, people do still slip up. Don't beat yourself up. I mean, just get over it. It's a new day. It's a new beginning once again. And then remember that recovery is a process.
When people try to quit and their relapse rates that happen, there are a lot of challenges, because surveys show that over 60% of people who try to quit porn relapse within 3 months due to withdrawal symptoms like anxiety, depression, and cravings. At the same time, abstinence success suggests that those who abstain from porn for 90 days report increased confidence, better focus, and improved relationships. So there seems to be the key time period seems to be 3 months, 90 days.
And it reinforces the behavior. The more you're sober, the more you're sober. I tell some of my patients, especially those who are depressed and they're very sedentary and just a bump on the log, remember this commercial, the less you do, the less you do, and the less you do. So the same for them, the more you reinforce the positive behavior, the more it becomes part of your fiber.
Yes indeed, yeah. Indeed.
Mm-hmm. And we do have the 12-step program also that's available that they can access, which is Porn Addicts Anonymous. And to find a meeting, they can go to pornaddictsanonymous.org.
And the 12-step program, invented originally, as our audience knows, was for alcohol. Mm-hmm. Alcoholic Anonymous is the parent group, so to speak. But it is a very, very effective 12-step mm-hmm. fellowship program. Mm-hmm. And it has just spread into all of the various addictions. Mm-hmm. And they are, I was talking to someone and they said that I didn't realize that my church has a Sexual Addicts Anonymous meeting every week.
Yeah.
So I was very happy to hear that.
And it is applicable if you think about it, you know, that you're powerless over this. And
exactly.
you need to reach out to something bigger than yourself and you need to get help for it. It's applicable. And
yes, it just yeah. Across the board, it's applicable. The substance or the behavior is the one that changes,
right.
But the principles of the 12-step program remain the same.
Mm-hmm.
We really hope this episode was informative, and in our next episode, we will deal with smoking and vaping, which I think is just something our audience will really enjoy because it is one of those very sticky addictions, I call it. I'm your host and producer, Dr. Mahjubeen Islam.
And I am Dr. Kathy Daniels.
And our executive producer is the very talented Chris Pfeiffer. Please share this podcast with friends and family, for it is only through education that our society can be helped and we can stem the destruction that the disease of addiction causes. Just go to wgte.org/treataddiction or wherever you stream your podcasts. You can listen in continuity from the beginning or else just pick the episode that interests you. And with all the challenges of life, do remember, patience in difficult times and gratitude always. See you soon.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.